Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Whatever happens today, plan to conquer it with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. True North Convenience Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. Our brew is truly perfect for any time of the day. During October and November, enter for a chance to win free coffee for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or find the mobile app in your favorite app store. Offer valid 10/7 through 12/1. True Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit detecttheSOS.com today to learn more.
We've been in these a few times, and that's why you always have to have contingency plans, and we'll see how the week unfolds. And that way, it's my job to be ready either way. We got in a similar situation last year, inverse, with Russ and Justin in week one, and that's our job to adapt just like you do. And that's what I give Mason a lot of credit. You know, people talk about being a pro and job, but that's a sign of a real pro. Mason does a good job preparing every week. Always one play away. You always hear these hypotheticals. He was ready to roll.
Before Mason Rudolph was one play away, it was always Charlie Batch who was a play away. Super Bowl champion, best of the Batch Foundation. All around good guy. He joins us now. Charlie, good morning to you, buddy. How's it going today?
It's going well. How you doing, fellas?
We are doing outstanding. Yep. Steelers, Bears on Sunday. A big swing game for the Steelers. And we feel like Rodgers is probably going to play, but it's not for certain. And so we wanted you to come on to kind of detail what Mason Rudolph's going through this week. Mason obviously played well in the second half against Cincinnati, and he's getting all the snaps, but he also doesn't know if he's going to play, and that can't be an easy thing. I think it takes a special kind of cat, Charlie, to be able to mentally prepare yourself to play and then maybe deal with the disappointment if you don't.
Absolutely, and that's the life of a backup, and nobody cares how many practice reps you receive. You better go out there and deliver, and yeah, I've obviously experienced that so well over the years, and there's been times that you know when you know you're playing, that's one thing, but ultimately when you have questions like we have this week on whether your starter is going to play, you know, there were times that I practiced all week, thought I was going to get the call, and all of a sudden Ben woke up on Saturday morning and said, I feel fresh and I'm starting. And I'm like, what the heck? All my family getting ready for the game. And I had to call them and let them know, hey, I'm not getting to start this week. But then, you know, but again, that's just how life is. And you just have to be ready to go.
Charlie, are the receivers getting open and receivers and skilled players, are they getting open for Rodgers? Is that what you're seeing? Or is it something else?
It's a combination of a couple different things. You have, when receivers are open, there's pressure throwing the timing off. And then all of a sudden, when there is time, you're not necessarily getting open on certain routes. So it's just, again, it just, you know, and I felt like over the past couple of weeks, I really thought Aaron Rodgers were probably trying to do a little bit too much to get the ball to DK Metcalf. And when he's honing in and locking in on DK, then you see somebody else getting open. So again, these are just things that, you know, you hope that it doesn't happen this late in the season, but we're starting to see that, but they are fixable.
Are you worried about Rodgers at 41 not having played his best football, we'll put it that way, over the last six quarters?
Yeah, I'm not worried about him. I mean, he understands everything that's going on, and he has that experience. So when you have situations like this on whether or not he practiced all week, can he get ready for the game? Yeah, absolutely. But again, he's the first one to admit that, hey, I need to play a little bit better. But what I'm seeing on the film is not raising a red flag or, you know, any alarms at this particular point, thinking that, okay, maybe we're struggling at the quarterback position. That is not the case.
Charlie, do you expect to see more Darnell Washington in the passing game, or is he best utilized as helping the protection, helping the offensive line? Do you think that he's going to get some more play with routes this week?
This is the way that it's trending at this particular point. And coming into the season, we all knew that he was the best blocking tight end on this roster, but nobody thought that he would elevate over Pat Freiermuth as early as he did as tight end number one. And because of that, you're starting to see him more implemented into the passing game. Aaron Rodgers loves him, and he loves the target. I mean, this guy is a large human being, and obviously we saw the highlights on what he did last week. Can he continue to create separation? We'll continue to watch that unfold. But either way, they like the direction of where he is in his young career.
He said he's 311 pounds, Charlie. That is insane, man.
He did, and it was almost like, you know, the worst kept secret, right? You know, if you're around him and you're looking at him, you're like, yeah, you know, you're 265 or 280. No, that's not necessarily the case, you know. But again, once he revealed it, then, you know, you obviously we see what the true numbers are. But for him to be able to move at that particular size is not a problem. But if you look at him, it's not a sloppy 311 pounds. This guy's solid.
Oh yeah, he's solid.
Charlie, I never played at Soldier Field. I never played in Chicago. You, I believe, obviously have played there. Is that a tough place to play? Is that a tough environment, that atmosphere?
Yeah, it is tough. I mean, obviously, they have the history and the tradition up there. And Bears fans are very passionate, just like Steelers fans are. And it's a tough environment to play, especially if you get from behind and you're getting into a two-minute drill and trying to understand just the mechanics of it. And I know Brian Urlacher, he was so good at understanding, because Chicago is a little bit different because the play clock's not, they're not high in that second level where you're able to see it. The play clock is actually on the field level. And Brian Urlacher would be so slick, and you're trying to now figure out, you get close to the play clock going down, and he would stand right in front of the sign and you couldn't see it. And I'm just like, what the heck is going on? But over the years, you're like, oh, that's that home field advantage, because he knows where that play clock is at. And if he can now make sure to create a slight bit of separation or hesitation by the quarterback, maybe his defense can take advantage of it.
Charlie Batch, our guest here on the Fan Morning Show. Charlie, it's obviously the injured left wrist for Aaron Rodgers. How do you think that affects him on Sunday?
Yeah, I think it alters the game plan, because right now we don't know if he can take a snap. And if he can't take a snap, which obviously we'll find that out as we move today, as all questions that we all have throughout the course of the week will be answered today. But again, my biggest thing is, okay, number one, can he take a snap from underneath center? And if he can he now hand the ball off as he is now attempting to go to his right, but ultimately you have to extend with your left hand to be able to make that handoff off to the running back? Those are things that you're going to ultimately see. And if he can't do that, then expect a heavy dose of him in the shotgun, maybe a pistol formation. So right now, Arthur Smith is going to have to create two separate game plans, one for Mason Rudolph, and the second is for Aaron Rodgers when these questions are happening today.
Charlie, do you think Caleb Williams is or can be a top-tier, really good quarterback in the NFL?
No, I really do think the upside is there, and he's proving that as the plays that he is making. But again, when you're in your young career, you have multiple offensive coordinators like he's had in his young career. You know, you haven't seen stability there. But now you have Ben Johnson up there. You know he's an offensive-minded guy from his time in Detroit. So he's now, you know, trying to benefit and figure out what the strengths and weaknesses are of Caleb. I think at this particular point of the season, we're seeing all the intangibles of what everybody expected when the Bears made them the number one pick.
Charlie, obviously you and Ben had a good relationship, and it sounds like, according to Rodgers and Rudolph, those two seemingly have a good relationship. Do you have a relationship with Mason Rudolph? Because I feel like you'd be the perfect guy for him to pick your brain. Good English by me.
Oh, Oh, absolutely. I'm down the facility a lot. I've started training camp, so I build relationship with those guys. And of course, I've known Ray Mason since he came into this league. So it's just good to really chop it up a little bit. But also, people have to understand the quarterback room has to be the tightest group in there, because there cannot be any leakage. And I say that because there's a lot of conversations that goes on in the room, strategy wise, how you're going to now attack a defense. And you never want, you know, to feel like, okay, the starting quarterback is looking over their shoulder, because if they make a mistake, there's another guy that wants to play. Yeah, deep down you want to do that, but when you know what your role is, you have to be a team player. And that was something that I had to build a relationship with Ben Roethlisberger during his rookie year, and that led all the way up to the point that we are now, like 24 years later or 21 years later with me and Ben, that we are still close to this day. But the trust is built in that meeting room. That's what you're seeing right now between Mason Rudolph and Aaron Rodgers, and ultimately you can see that, you know, just them talking about it throughout the course of this week. It was beautiful to hear, but it's not something that's unexpected for me.
Charlie, would you say that your favorite moment coming in and playing was against the Ravens December 3rd, 2012?
Yeah, that was a Steelers game, yes. But my ultimate game was my rookie year in 1998 when I was with the Lions and played the Steelers on Thanksgiving. So that was probably the biggest game for me, moment-wise. But I think as I finished my career, everybody remembers that Baltimore game and, you know, obviously the embrace between me and Ben Roethlisberger during that time. But again, when you're playing a division foe and you're going on the road and having to win a game, man, and especially when you know it potentially could be your last game, that was something that was special. And that's one game that a lot of people remember, even though it's been 15 years ago.
I remember, I was 10, 11 years old, and I remember Charlie Bash playing the Pittsburgh Steelers with the Detroit Lions, and I remember my whole fan being like, he's from Pittsburgh, and I remember thinking that was the coolest thing in the world.
Well, and Charlie, you were tampering with the coin there, too, for overtime.
Yeah, that was it, and actually that was part of history, and people didn't realize that, but when you're watching that game in 1998, that was part of history because that was the last time that you actually were able to call a coin flip in the air. when that happened, immediately after that, that following week, that's when you actually had to say whether it was heads or tails before the coin went in the air. And even though it's been almost 27 years ago, I'm still waiting on Jerome Bettis to tell me whether or not he said heads or tails. He's sticking with his story. He's stuck with it all these years later. At some point, I really want to know what he truly said, because closed caption says something else. Jerome says something else too. So we just need to get to the bottom of that.
That's right, Charlie. Whatever you want to hear, you can hear it.
Yeah.
Which is so weird. Like in 2025, I mean, we just saw Ja'Marr Chase's spit. You could count the molecules. But back then, it was a little bit more muddled. I'd be remiss if we didn't, before we let you go, talk about the Best of the Batch Foundation. I mean, this is all year round is your time of the year, Charlie, but especially now as we get closer to Christmas.
Yeah, it really is. And again, Best of the Batch Foundation, we've celebrated 26 years now. And, you know, we're truly exciting because we service over 4,000 kids annually in 9 different counties throughout southwestern PA. But throughout the course of the year, it takes so many volunteers to help move our programs and help them push them forward as we have 13 different programs that we run throughout the calendar year. So we just had our fundraiser that we had last week, our In the Pocket event that helped raise funds for our STEAM programs and our out of school time. And now as we shift into the holidays, it's a busy season for us because even starting today, we adopted 200 families. So we'll do a turkey drive here today with all the fixings. And then as we head into the holiday time with Christmas, we actually adopt 400 families, which is over 1,800 kids. And from there, we collect toys, unwrap, we need help wrapping them, and then ultimately we deliver the week of Christmas. So it's just truly special with that particular program. It takes over 1,400 volunteers to help make that happen. So I want to say thank you to everybody who believes in what we are doing. And if you want to be a part of a toy collection, you can go to our website, which is batchfoundation.org. You'll see all the information that we have around the city. We have drop-off locations around the city. But yet, if you cannot make that, there's a QR code that's there. Also, there are click-and-ship options that we have on our website that actually will ship directly to our foundation offices. So, again, we are just trying to create and put smiles on kids' faces throughout the holiday season. But we thank everybody who believes in what we're doing because we cannot do this by ourselves. So, again, that's batchfoundation.org.
You're the man on and off the field, Charlie. Yep. Awesome stuff, man. We appreciate you coming on and for what you do for the community. Appreciate it.
Yeah, I appreciate you. Thanks for having me, fellas.
Thanks, Charlie.
Charlie Batch, batchfoundation.org. Oh, that Thanksgiving game in 1998.
I remember that clear as day.
Me too, dude.
Clear as day.
Me too.
Jerome wearing they had the whites on, right? The white jerseys.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, I said tails. Or was it heads? Which one was it?
It was one of the two.
The ref said he said heads, but he claims he
said tails. I said tails. I said tails. I think he had a hat on, too. I think Jerome did.
He did. Yeah. That was one of the all-time, like, what the F moments in Steelers history. People were and continue to be pissed, and I love that Charlie was on the opposite side of it. All right, we're talking about Steelers and Bears and asking who should be the quarterback, an injured Aaron Rodgers or a healthy Mason Rudolph at 412-928-9370. We also have last night's game to react to. The Bills lost. Buffalo now 7-4. Texans move up to 6-5. The Bills have the same problem the Steelers have offensively, but it's worse. They don't have a wide receiver.
Period.
Yeah. Shakir fumbled last night. He was their best guy statistically. You think Roman Wilson's in a doghouse or was? Keon Coleman, who they picked in the second round, has been a healthy scratch the last two games.
Not great.
Buffalo is taking on water. The Chiefs, if they lose Sunday to the Colts, could be eliminated. The Ravens are going to beat the Jets. So that's going to put pressure on the Steelers in the AFC North. The Ravens are going to beat New York. And that's going to get the Ravens over 500 for the first time all year. They'll be 6-5. And that is the scary thing about the Steelers' trip to Chicago is if they lose it, they're going to be tied with the Ravens coming down the stretch here. And Baltimore's schedule is considerably easier than the Steelers, although...
To say nothing of the fact that Vegas just thinks the Ravens are a better team and would sweep that matchup if they were asked.
Although the Steelers do have the two games against the Ravens and will, you know, control their own destiny, even though they'll be tied. They'll given that lead away.
Yeah, I'm just saying, like, the perception is that they would actually go 0-2 among, like, the people who set the odds here.
What I'm really saying is, if the Steelers can get by the Bears, by hook or by crook, by any means necessary, they are smack dab in this conversation. That's what this game, I think, means. If you win, you still have the Ravens behind you in the standings. You'll be in first place. You'll be in position to host a playoff game for the first time since 2020. And the teams ahead of you don't scare you. And the teams behind you used to scare you, but don't as much anymore.
Well, teams behind you might still scare you if you have to see them, but their problem is just getting into the dance. That's the big thing.
And I said last night, and people got mad at me on Twitter.
There's a surprise.
The Steelers could absolutely win a playoff game this year, and maybe more.
It looks like it's shaping up in the AFC at least, because the NFC feels like the Rams, the Eagles are still kind of a powerhouse, but especially the Rams. It feels like the AFC has an opening for what I will call a 2015 Broncos-style team. Maybe. Honestly, I watched Houston yesterday. They could absolutely win playoff games with that defense if it's healthy.
And they could lose playoff
games. They could lose to anybody.
Their offensive line blows.
Yes, and I mean, they might have to start
Stroud
Davis
hasn't
Mills.
Been the same guy since his rookie year, yeah.
But the point is, like, I look at Denver just because I'm using a 2015 Denver comp, the last time maybe a team with a crap offense and an unbelievable defense made a run and won the whole thing. Look at Denver right now, man. They're middle of the league when it comes to actual scoring output. Does anybody think they have a good offense?
No.
They have a terrific defense, one of the three best in the league. It might be in a one-game setting. It might be the best one.
The Broncos defense is what the Steelers defense
wish they
wanted
were.
To be this year. Yeah.
Sure. So is the Texans defense. The Patriots are top five in both scoring offense and scoring defense. They haven't lost since the Steelers beat them. They have reeled off a bunch of pretty impressive wins, for the most part, against some good teams in there. Does anybody, though, yet think that they are a juggernaut? I don't.
No, they also have had the easiest schedule in the AFC this year.
They beat the Jets. They beat a Falcons team that's bad. They smoked the Browns, who stink. They beat the Saints in there. Beating the Bills, very good win. Beating the Panthers.
They got two good wins. They went to Tampa in one, and they went to Buffalo in one.
I mean, smacking Carolina at home by 30 points, now that we know that Carolina's frisky, is pretty good.
Yeah.
But, yes, overall, I agree. The Colts, if they're in their building, they scare me. But if they're not in their building, look what happened when they came here.
They lost to the Raiders at home.
Look what happened when they came here.
When you're the Patriots and you lose to the Raiders, You're not right. Infallible
forfeit,
here.
You forfeit the right to say anything. The Colts, scary in the right setting, but in the wrong setting, they're very fallible, as we found out. The point is, it is a seeming more open AFC, and the fact that Kansas City has to like climb over other teams to get this done and get back in, the fact that Baltimore even has to climb over other teams and might have a gimpy quarterback does make it, at least on its face, feel much more wide open than it has in previous years. Where it's really, honestly for me, man, almost going back probably at least 4 years, if not longer, it has been some combination of it's the Chiefs and the Ravens, it's the Chiefs, the Ravens, and the Bills.
Chris, I'm not even sure the Steelers have a lot of the problems that we've harped on and bitched about fixed. And I
don't think they do.
And I don't feel like, oh, if they make the playoffs, it's a death march to get blown out by somebody.
The real story here is that they could get like somebody to emerge as a legitimate second wide receiver target, and their defense continues to stabilize and doesn't get banged up. They could actually improve. There is room to believe that they could be a better football team in 3 or 4 weeks than they are now. Now, I'm not guaranteeing that that would happen.
Yeah.
And you can say that about every one of these other teams, so people, you don't have to tweet me that, oh, Denver could figure it out too, and they've got a better offensive head coach. But if they just get somebody like Roman Wilson to emerge, they will look like a better team.
I would love that, but I don't even think that's necessary.
I'm not saying it is necessary. I'm saying it would help a lot. I think two things
are more likely and would give them a better chance of ending this playoff win drought. I think their defense, the stats don't look good, but I think they're playing in a way that makes me think there's potential for them to become one of the best defenses in the NFL. And all of their rushing stats stink, but it's easier for me to picture that offensive line coming together as a run-blocking unit with the jumbo packages and with Darnell Washington and opening up holes for Warren and Gainwell than really right now it is for me picturing Aaron Rodgers turning back the clock and looking like a top 10 quarterback again with the weapons they have in their passing game. Like, I could see their defense getting to a point where they're close to where Denver is and Houston is and the Rams are.
They need their highest paid player to start showing up more.
Yeah, Watt's got to play better. And this, hopefully this walking boot thing with Cam Hayward is not a big deal. Because I still think right now, even with all the flack and crap he took in the offseason, the Steelers' best defensive player, week in and week out, play in and play out, is Hayward.
Yeah, he's been, I think, largely very good. Very good.
412-928-9370. Here's Joseph on the fan. Hello, Joe.
Oh, hey, thanks for getting me on again, guys.
Sure.
Hey, so I'm Mason Rudolph's biggest fan. I've been calling for years, ever since Rudolph got his shot. I was actually the guy, Pony, you asked me back in 2023 what made Mason Rudolph so great and this and that. And I gave you my scenario. You hung up on me. You said, oh, I can't take that guy. And the next day, you changed your whole tune on Rudolph. So I'd like to see Rudolph.
Sounds believable. I don't remember that, but I don't.
I do.
I don't put it past. Yes, you do. I don't put it past me or you, though. Okay, so your tune on Mason Rudolph is now what? That even when both guys are healthy, he's better than Aaron Rodgers?
Well, he's 30 years old. Rodgers is 41. Come on, man.
Okay, can you bring yourself
50 years old playing quarterback?
Well, can you at least say it? Yes, Mason Rudolph is better than Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, I mean, at this time in his career, at 30 years old, he is in the prime of his life right now. He's 30 years old.
Okay.
No, I'm not putting down Rodgers, but he's 41. His time has passed.
All right. So
when was the last time he won a Super Bowl when they beat the Steelers?
All
I
right.
was at that game.
All right. So congratulations on all your success. So if Tomlin plays an injured Aaron Rodgers, which it appears he will, over a healthy Mason Rudolph on Sunday, Joseph and Hopewell will be really pissed off.
No, I won't be mad. It is what it is. I can't control all that. I wasn't even planning on calling, but you guys were looking for the Mason Rudolph lovers, and I'm a big Mason Rudolph fan.
If you love the guy and you think he gives the team a better chance to win, you're not going to care if Tomlin plays an ancient injured quarterback over him? You're not going to care.
Well, as the game goes on and you see how inept he is, and they put Mason in there, and
I don't think that's going to happen.
Give you a call next week.
Okay, but I don't think that's going to happen. I think if Rudolph starts, he's got to get knocked. I mean, if Rodgers starts, I think he's got to get knocked out of the game with the injury for Rudolph to go in. Do you agree with that? I don't think Mike will bench him for performance reasons, because then I think he would have to pissed off Rodgers on his hand.
He would have to throw 3 or 4 picks and just look atrocious.
Rodgers would have to take himself out of the game in that situation and say, I'm hurting the team more than I'm helping it. Get me out of here, I think.
Yeah, I think at the end of the day, you're right.
Here's Mike in Monroeville. Hello, Mike.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I was just going to say I'm definitely Team Rodgers. I mean, Mason's played over 30 games at this point in his career. We kind of know what he is. And, I mean, after that playoff game, whenever they played Buffalo, I mean, I know he wasn't the sole reason. He had opportunities to put him back in the lead, and he just couldn't.
All right, but just to play devil's advocate, did we know what Sam Darnold was after 30 games? Did we know what Geno Smith was after 30 games? I don't know if the 30-game argument really holds water. By the way, I don't think he played 30 games. But I'm just saying, I don't know if that holds water anymore.
Well, my argument to that is because I don't believe that Tomlin can get any kind of more untapped potential out of him. So that's why I think if it's a big if, because you guys kind of already mentioned it with Baltimore, I don't think we're even making the playoffs. I thought that after the first Cincinnati game. But if we did, I just want to see somebody different, not somebody we've already seen in the past, because our goal should be to win a playoff game.
That's not really a ringing endorsement for Rodgers,
no.
though.
Well, no,
I've seen Mason Rudolph lose one.
To it. Yeah, it's not an endorsement, period.
Rudolph is 9-6-1 in games where he's gotten significant snaps for the Steelers. That's half the number that he pointed out. That's basically a season worth of football.
Mm-hmm.
You want to say off a season's worth of football that you know for 100% that the guy's just a dude?
I mean, I think it's pretty clear. He's also been very bad somewhere else. Like Sam Darnold's whole thing that like you brought up, or Geno Smith's whole thing, was a change of scenery did them good. I know he went to a moribund franchise, but nobody else wanted him, and then he certainly didn't elevate his surroundings for said franchise.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Whatever happens today, plan to conquer it with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. True North Convenience Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. Our brew is truly perfect for any time of the day. During October and November, enter for a chance to win free coffee for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or find the mobile app in your favorite app store. Offer valid 10/7 through 12/1. True Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Ah, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detecttheSOS.com to learn more.
Donnie, this is one of the most incredible days of my life. The people at 84 Lumber have just set us up in miraculous fashion. There's a coffee truck. There's treats for us, hats and golf shirts. There's wonderful people here at 84 Lumber in Bridgeville. And then on top of that, Ray the mailman walks in and hands us pretzels, soft pretzels, with a little thing of iced tea.
Yeah.
And
Son plays hoops at Cornell.
He plays golf at Neville Wood. Says he's going to call me for a round. This is Christmas, buddy.
I knew that would get you excited. He might whoop on you, though. He might whoop on you. It seems like he's a pretty good golfer.
Believe me, when I go out to a place like that, I ain't thinking about the other guy. I'm thinking about my game and if I can par some holes.
You versus you.
This is incorrigible. All right. What a day this has turned into. I'm probably forgetting some of the treats we've gotten here. And at the top of the hour, we have Nick Kostos, who I need to brag to because I won our bet. Listen to the Pomp and Joe Show on demand on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts. Fan Hotline, presented by Sullivan Super Service, providing trusted plumbing and HVAC service for over 50 years. And we're coming up on the 50-minute mark. And that is brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram Route 19 in Peters Township. You ready for a numbers game, Donnie?
I am, Joe.
Give me a number.
5.
Yes.
The Bears have won 5 games this season, Joe, in which they came back in the final 2 minutes of play. That is tied for the most such wins in a season by any team since 1983.
That's incredible. It's like all the bad luck that they've accumulated is being reversed in one season. I got a number for you, Donnie. -6. That is the point differential for the fraudulent Bears.
Yeah, the Steelers sit at, what, +14, I think, in that same category. I will give you the number 16, Joe. I'd said that the Bears, not a good defense, but one that can turn the football over, they have the league's best turnover differential at +16.
I got a number that's very similar and very related, Donnie. 15. That's the number of interceptions the Bears have made this season that leads the NFL.
And something else that leads the NFL, Joe, overall takeaways, my number is 22. That's what the Bears have. The Steelers happen to be second in the league in takeaways with 18.
I got a number for you, Donnie. 1934. That was the year the Bears and Steelers first met. Ron was in the press box.
And no Bill Shakespeare in that game because he decided to never play.
He was a healthy scratch.
He decided to become a writer.
Yeah, he did.
In his time. 77 is my number, Joe. The Steelers have scored 77 points off turnovers this year. That is the best in the NFL.
Guess what, Donnie? My number is 77, too. That's quarterback hits for the Steelers this season. Who's the only team with more?
Your Denver Broncos,
yes,
Joe.
Yes, they are. With 95, only one team with more quarterback hits than the Steelers.
55.5. That is the average plays per game from the Steelers offense. That is the fewest in football by a pretty wide margin.
And I have something related to that. 0. The Steelers have not run more plays than their opponent. And by the way, all of my stats today come via Matt Williamson's cheat sheet. I think they call it Matt Stats over at Steelers.com
Matt
right
the Machine
now.
Williamson.
Holy horse milk. That guy's unbelievable. 0. The Steelers have not run more plays than their opponent in any game this season. And on conversely, 64.9, that's how many plays the Bears are running. That's most in the league other than Jacksonville and Arizona. So that's something to watch in this one.
37 is my number. The Bears had the football for just under 37 minutes last week, 36 minutes and 59 seconds against Minnesota.
I got one here that is shocking to me. 20. The Steelers have 20 touchdown passes, and maybe the real number is 2. There's only 2 other teams in the league with more touchdown passes than them. Does that even make sense to you?
The Rams, for sure, are one of them.
And the Rams with 27 and the Lions with 22. You could have knocked me over with a feather, Donnie, that the Steelers are 3rd in the NFL in touchdown passes.
6. That is the Bears' average margin of victory, just 6 points. Only 3 teams are lower than that. This is a 7-3 football team we're talking about.
I got a number for you, Donnie. In fact, I have 2 of them. I mentioned earlier in the show, you know, what scares you about the Bears? Nothing. Well, here's maybe one thing. 6. They're 6th in the NFL in explosive play rate at 12%, while the Steelers' defense is 26th, allowing such plays. That actually scares me a little bit, because it says the numbers and these teams' resumes so far this season add up to a couple of explosive plays for the Bears.
My number is also six, Joe. The Steelers and the Bears are the only two teams that have six different players with 200 or more receiving yards this season.
Is that the good news or the bad news for both teams, I wonder, right?
Maybe the bad.
19, Chicago leads this series 19-8-1. They started out 10-0, and the Steelers are, what's their record in Chicago? 1-12?
1-12.
It's amazing to me. It's got to be, and I should have looked this up, honestly. Is there any team in football that Steelers have a worse winning percentage against? Is Philly one of them, maybe?
On the road? I mean, they
haven't won. Just overall, the Bears are 19-8-1 against the Steelers.
Yeah, that has to be.
That has to be up
there. Their worst. I mean, they haven't won in Philly since Nixon was president, but the last time they won in Chicago was a mere 30 years ago. Five is my number here,
Did
Joe.
Did Mulsey have hair 30 years ago? He was 10, definitely.
Yeah,
right?
He would have had hair. Yeah.
Sorry, go ahead.
The Steelers are 5-1 when they record a takeaway this year. They're 5-0 in games in which they win the turnover battle.
Man, I got one for you, Donnie. 80. The Bears have committed 80 penalties. Only three teams have committed more. That's something to keep your eye on.
64 is my number, Joe. That is the amount of touchdown passes Aaron Rodgers has thrown against the Bears in his career.
I have an accompanying 64. I have an accompanying number to that, Donnie. 25. Rodgers has won 25 of his 29 starts. Did you use that number already?
Not in this, but I brought it up earlier in the show.
Yeah,
he's
we're
25
working in
and
tandem
four.
Here.
32 for 32nd in the league. That is where the Bears are in terms of forcing their opponent to punt every drive.
Well, that's interesting, because my number is 27.7, and that's the Steelers' number of yards per drive. It's the sixth fewest in the league, and I might add, Donnie, they go three and out, according to Matt's stats, more often than any team but two, which is incredible to me. They're a three and out machine.
71.4 is my number here. I don't think you used this one in terms of yards after the catch, Joe, with the Steelers. 71.4 of the Steelers' receiving yards this season have come after the catch. Not only is that the most this season by any team, it is more than any team in the NFL since 2016, almost a decade of play.
Holy ostrich milk. My last number here, Donnie, is DK Metcalf related. It's zero. The number of times he has scored a touchdown or eclipsed 50 receiving yards since week six. Are we talking about the disappearance of Metcalf enough? It wasn't even a topic today, Donnie. Let's get to that in the 1 o'clock hour.
What do I want to go with here? How about 33.1? Your friend. I forget his name. Your friend from Chicago, who you
Tommy
mentioned.
Tommy Cusimano.
Tommy.
Yeah.
He said, well, there's a lot of injuries on defense. Secondary's banged up. The top three linebackers are banged up. It might be a big day for Steelers tight ends. 33.1 is my number, Joe, because the Steelers tight ends account for 33.1% of the team's targets. That is the second highest in football.
Artie Smith's tight end attack, they call it, Donnie. It's going to be right up there someday with the West Coast offense and the other famous offenses from
Air
legendary
Coryell.
Air Coryell. We have Artie's tight ends. Someday they're going to write books about this, Limits. Who had the best number?
I think the best number was the first number that was given that you brought up. The Bears have won five games this season when they've come back in the final 2 minutes. Tied for the most of any team since 83.
Yeah, man, that's the type of thing that tends to even out. And I think the Bears may not wind up with – I don't even know if they're going to wind up with a winning record. If it is, I think it might be 9-8.
I mean, they do run into a bit of a gauntlet here. Beyond the Steelers on Sunday, we actually have a really good Black Friday game this year where it looks like no injuries – knock on wood, have impacted that. We got our guy Seth here on site, his Eagles hosting the Bears on Black Friday at 3 o'clock.
I like that.
Then it is Bears at Packers a couple of weeks from now at 4:25. Their only easy game left, they host the Browns in the middle of December.
I don't think that's easy either. I think games against the Browns, especially if you're not
with
like
that defense,
yeah, can be close. And like I said,
they finish up against the Packers in San Francisco and then against the Detroit Lions.
Anthony, the salesman, just left Donnie. He says if you refer to him as Tony, it's a non-starter. Did you hear him say that?
I did.
What do you make of it?
See, I mean,
should we bust his chops and call him Tony, or might there be some trauma about that?
No, he might be upset. He's also a guy that could get us a little bit more money, so I don't want to upset him.
That's a good point. This sounds like Cabali's breathing. He was very sensitive about the idea of calling him Tony, just as Cabali is when he breathes into the mic and people text us and say, tell him to stop breathing.
Now, if your first name was Anthony, how would you come down on that? I would let people call me Tony. I would probably go by Tony.
I think I would. Then again, my first name is Joseph, and I don't like Joey. I don't like Joey. Maybe this is in the Joey realm, Tony.
At what age? Jackass Tony. At what age, Joe, should I make the transition from Donnie to Don or go back to Donald?
See, that's what I was going to ask you. If I was a Donnie, I don't think I'd be up for Don. Would you? Are you going to be? Would you go with Don?
Maybe a little bit later down the road.
Does anybody call you Don?
Actually, you know who called me Don all the time? Lanny. When I was in school, he would call me Don all the time.
And when you're in trouble at home as a kid, it's Donald?
Donald.
Yeah. It's always the full name. Joseph.
Joseph is my middle name. Did you know that?
I didn't.
I'm named after both of my grandfathers.
Cool. Limits, what's your middle name?
Ray, like yours.
Listen to this. We have a nice triumvirate
here.
We're
just all mixing in. Seth, now we got to know your middle name.
What's your middle name,
Hurts? Seth Jalen Hurts. Seth Freddie Mitchell Davis.
Jacob. Seth Howard Jacob. Carmichael.
That's a good one.
Jacob, I like that.
I should have known that because I know he puts like SJ in his Twitter handle.
Well, it was a big week for me last week because I had a bet with Nick Kostos. He was hammering me really hard about
Bo Nix. That was a battle. I just let you guys go at it like a couple of rams on the mountain.
He was saying that Bo Nix is a, quote, bad quarterback. I said, no, he's not. And then we bet on Broncos Chiefs straight up. And guess who won, Donnie? The savvy old news hound. That's why I'm pointing at the sky right now.
You're doing the old Pedro Martinez.
And Bo Nix had 295 yards passing in the two biggest throws of the game on that final drive. Not that we won't get into that next. Oh, we're going to get into that next.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Hi, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. you'll see Progressive's direct rate. Then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's what you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit DetectTheSOS.com today to learn more.
Welcome back. Fan Hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service. On that line is Super Bowl champion Bryant McFadden. Back to break down the Steelers, and it is a good day to talk Steelers. Sunday afternoon, they head to Soldier Field to play Chicago. They've won one game there all time. That was back in 1995. They are 1-12 against the Bears in Chicago. You didn't know that, B-Mac?
Wow, I didn't know that. Yeah. That's alarming.
Total house of horrors for them. Well, you figure if they played there in the 80s, which I think they would have, Bears were better then.
Yep.
They got Mike Glennon there. Mike Glennon had a habit of beating the Steelers.
They
for
played
various
a lot
teams
there before the merger when
yeah,
it was just
Bears
the
were
NFL
stacked.
And the Bears were good back then.
Yeah.
Well, I want to ask you first about what happened last night in the state of the AFC. Do you feel like the Steelers are a contender or a pretender right now, B-Mac?
They're a contender. I think the AFC, there's a lot of uncertainty within the entire conference, which actually helps this debate with the Steelers being a contender, because who is really, 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 really good, right?
No one.
Who's really, really, really good?
And the really, really good teams they beat. They beat New England and they beat the Colts.
Exactly. I think the issue with the Pittsburgh Steelers, they have this issue of playing down to that competition in times and just being a little inconsistent. You know what I mean? When you look at what happened in Cincinnati and even that Green Bay game, they didn't play well against Green Bay. So within the AFC, seeing what happened last night, Buffalo is not the Buffalo Bills that we thought they would be. We've seen what's going on with the Baltimore Ravens, even though they're in the midst of this winning streak. They could have took one on the chin last week.
Mm-hmm. So, and Jackson keeps having different parts of his leg get hurt, B-Mac.
Ankle, hamstring, knee.
It's like that operation game or whatever.
Yeah. So it's in Kansas City. It's Kansas City. Kansas City got a win, but they're going to need a lot of help also. So, I think the Steelers are definitely a contender.
What would be like one thing you would want to see from the Steelers where you would answer this question, besides winning games, like something about the way they're playing football, where you'd say not only are they a contender, but they're a serious contender? What's something they need to do to get up to the upper echelon of that tier? You know what I mean?
I need to see the Steelers in totality play games like they did last week against Cincinnati, play games like they did a few weeks ago against the Colts. Right now in the month of November, championship teams are thriving. Teams that are still trying to figure things out, they're surviving. So for Pittsburgh, man, if you're a team that has those championship aspirations, being a contender, you need to start thriving and showcasing that consistency. Because I think the fans would say, you don't know exactly which Steeler team you're going to get, right? And I think now is the time where you showcase that consistency to be able to put forth the type of efforts that we've seen against Cincinnati, against the Colts.
Does the quarterback decision for Sunday matter in how you feel about the game, Aaron Rodgers or Mason Rudolph?
I mean, yeah, it matters because Aaron Rodgers owns Soldier Field. You talked about Chicago's record against us in Chicago. What about Aaron Rodgers' record in Chicago?
12-3.
I mean, 12-3. He owns Soldier Field. He owns the organization for the Bears there. But I would say this. If there's a situation where Aaron can play and he could potentially make the injury worse, don't do it. This is a very, very important ball game, but this is not an AFC game. This is not an AFC North game. So if that was the case, in which I don't know, I'm not a doctor, I would say let's go with Mason Rudolph. Defense, do what you need to do. Playmakers around Mason, make plays. Let's try to get this win without Aaron.
How much of a difference do you think there is from Rudolph to from Rodgers to Rudolph? I mean, just I know you got to go based on what we saw in that game last week against Cincinnati, but in terms of like actual level of play, what kind of a difference or what level of a difference did you sense?
The above the shoulder element is the biggest difference for me comparing Mason to Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers, man, I think throughout what we've seen from 2025 with him, he looked very, very smooth. He has a control over the offense. He's never in the moment never seems to be too big for him. And just some of the throws and just the precision with his throws has really been felt. I think that's the biggest difference.
Do the Steelers have a quarterback advantage in this game against the Bears?
Well, if our starting quarterback isn't playing, no. But if our starting quarterback is playing, yeah.
Okay.
Now, I can tell you this much about Caleb. Caleb Williams, I think he's been receiving a lot of undeserving criticism. He's been playing really good football, quiet as kept. If you look at their numbers, statistically speaking, they're in the top of the league in almost every major offensive category. And what he does in the fourth quarter is really when he's playing some of his best football. And just the ability to buy time and make things happen with his legs. But if Aaron Rodgers is in this ball game, he's 12-3 in that stadium. Hey, Aaron Rodgers probably has more wins in that stadium than Caleb has in his entire career in Chicago.
Definitely.
I'm just throwing that out there, but
he does.
Based on yeah, exactly. So yeah, I got to take Aaron Rodgers.
B-Mac, was there a stadium you love playing in besides Heinz Field? Did you have a road stadium in the pros where you're like, I always feel good here. I can track the ball better for some reason, something like that.
Yo, the Chargers, back when they were in San Diego, and for my football fans that really know the game, back when it was Qualcomm Stadium, mm-hmm. and you remember once upon a time it was Jack Murphy mm-hmm. Stadium.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So, of course, Qualcomm Stadium, their traction was unbelievable. Their turf was unbelievable. And just San Diego, man, was a great place in terms of weather. And then secondly, I would go with, I'm going to go back to Autel Stadium. You remember what stadium that was? Jacksonville, exactly, exactly. So Jacksonville was always a really good attraction as well.
And Rasheed Mathis service. Thought the same thing whenever he saw Ben
yes,
Roethlisberger.
Don't mention
Rasheed Mathis. Every time we played against Jacksonville, when Rasheed was there, he would get a pick six every time.
So we're on corners now. This became a huge point of discussion this week. We didn't think it would be. Somebody asked Tomlin on Tuesday, hey, if Darius Slay gets out of concussion protocol, will he start at corner over James Pierre? And Tomlin said yes, and it was like the record stopped because Pierre's been really good and Slay hasn't been that good, and it brings back the old question about can you lose your job because of an injury, and should the veteran get the nod over the guy that's the hot hand? What's your take on it?
I mean, we've seen situations in past, not just with the Steelers, but just in the NFL in general, where players will lose their job because of injury. Because that new player has a really, really hot hand, and the entire team has been better with that said player in the lineup. And for Tomlin to go back to Darius Slay, there's something that he's comfortable with Slay in the lineup, that we might not be privy to, right? And we just got to trust his football defensive judgment. He's a defensive-minded coach. He's coming from the secondary. That was his specialty once upon a time. So we just got to trust that he knows what's best. But one thing we've seen with Pierre, seeing him just the maturation process for him has been amazing to watch, because now he provides an element of depth in that position, which will be needed because there's a lot of football left to be played. And I love the confidence that he's playing with. He's playing with a lot of confidence, man. You can tell he has really got acclimated to playing cornerback in the National Football League. And he's a Broward County guy as well. You know, he's from Deerfield Beach, 954.
He's Lamar Jackson's cousin.
Yeah, yeah. So last time I checked, you know, cornerbacks from Broward County usually do well in the Pittsburgh Steelers uniform.
Is that right?
This guy, this particular gentleman I'm about to ask you about, I believe is from suburban Nashville. His name is Jalen Ramsey, and he is suddenly just a free safety, and he's not a queen on the chessboard who moves around.
B-Mac, you called B-Mac. This. You said simplify it and put him at safety before they did it.
They put him at safety, and I just want to know what your opinion is. I think we've got a three-game sample now of him just being back there. How do you feel like it's going?
Well, you guys know how I feel. I said this weeks ago when, you know, there were some transparency issues in the back end, I was like, yo, simplify it and stop moving him around so much. Allow him to focus in on one position where he can really showcase his skill set. And I don't know if Terrell Austin was listening to our call that day, but I'm happy he made the move to just allow Jalen to focus in at the safety because he's a difference maker. Jalen Ramsey's an old-school safety. He will punish you. And that's what jump-started the back and forth between him and Ja'Marr Chase last week. When Ja'Marr Chase ran that under-over route, that was an under route, or deep over, and it was incompletion, but Jalen Ramsey speared him in the back legally? No question. Why receivers are not accustomed to getting hit like that in today's football league? And I'm happy to see Jalen. You remember what he did against the Colts when he was firing off on Tyler Warren, who's 6'6", when he fired off on Michael Pittman. Those type of players are not in the league anymore, or they don't display that skill set, that punishment. And you better believe when they watch film, I can tell you wide receiver coaches are telling the Chicago Bears. Antoine Randall is telling his wide receivers, you better protect yourself when you come across that middle because number five ain't playing the radio.
Who's your pick in this game and who's going to be the star of the game?
I've been doing pretty good the last few weeks.
Okay.
I've been doing it, and it's time for me to start playing the lottery. Do you know, guys, someone not too far from my house won the lottery and I didn't play it?
Wait, how much they win?
They won the big boy, the $900 million or whatever it was.
That could have been you.
Yeah, I mean, what are we doing? We're not too far from my house. The good Publix, they won the $900 million. And you know what?
That's a lot of pub subs to buy with that.
Listen, when I hit $900 million, I'll still be doing my weekly hit with you guys.
Thank you. That was my next question. Would you abandon us or no? And I'm glad to hear that you'd still be loyal.
He'd be flying us out to his mansion to do it in person.
Yeah. We can sit there real nice. That'd be real nice. But my star of the week, boy. Let's go defense. Caleb Williams, he got to get some humble pie. And I hope the Pittsburgh Steelers are bringing three whole pies for him to eat on, humbly. So let me go with Keanu Benton, and let's go Jalen Ramsey. I think Jalen Ramsey's still a little fired up for what happened.
And final score?
To see him. Final score, I have the Pittsburgh Steelers winning this game. We're going to go 19-17.
Slog. Okay.
Old AFC North, little old sluggy, goony type ball game.
Going to be a nasty one.
All right, B-Mac, thanks. We'll talk again next week.
Thanks, B-Mac.
Yes, sir.
Hi, Chris. How you doing, buddy?
What's up, fellas? How we doing tonight?
Chris, I tried sweet potato pie for the first time.
I'm sorry, what?
I tried sweet potato pie for the first time. A kind listener brought it in because they said I had never had it before, and it was delicious.
That might be wider than not knowing that was a Jackie Robinson shirt.
Well, I say I'm going to make it for my family this Thanksgiving now, Chris. What are your thoughts on that?
Mm-mm. That's cultural appropriation. You have to ask Doran permission first.
Yeah, Doran gave me a big old no. He gave me a big old no, but I did enjoy it with my coffee this morning. All right, we'll get to the football now. Chris Carter, of course, from the Post-Gazette and the Locked On Steelers podcast. Chris, let's focus offensively with the assumption that Aaron Rodgers is going to play in this game. What is the number one key they got to do offensively?
Hit the open man. And it seems so frustrating to say that because that's what Aaron Rodgers' whole career had been. He came into this year with the best passer rating, the lowest interception rate in NFL history. And at the start of the year, and for most of the year, he had been doing that. Even when it was the quick pass and it was a little frustrating, like, man, I wish he'd take the shot downfield. He would get rid of the ball quick, get it to the guy in space, and let them work their way down the field. But in the Chargers game and the first half last week, outside of the first drive, he wasn't hitting those guys. And he knows it. He's talked about, you know, that's the key to this offense. But they have to do that. And I think that this is a Bears defense that they've been very opportunistic. You know, people talk about how the Steelers live off of turnovers. They literally live off turnovers. Their metrics outside of turnovers are worse than the Steelers before. The Steelers defense really took a turn for the better 3 weeks ago. So, If I'm the Steelers, force this team to tackle in space, get the ball out fast, and then that'll force them to kind of make more mistakes out there. Then the run game should open up more. But hit the ball, hit the guy in open space, and kind of you'll get what you got last week, where you know Kenneth Gainwell, Jaylen Warren, you know, DK Metcalf, they can make guys miss and build up, and then everything else starts to fill in from there.
Chris, are guys getting open downfield, though? Do you see that on film, or are guys getting, or are they just not creating any separation?
It's a mixed bag. The guys are not winning, you know, in ways that are like, just, hey, we just, you know, one-on-one win all the time. But there are times where just schematically guys are open because, you know, not everything can be covered all the time. There are times when guys are blanketed. Like make no mistake, like the Steelers are missing the presence of a true route runner. Like you know, like for all things that Deontay Johnson wasn't, he was one of the best route running wide receivers in football, you know, for years. And so, you know, they're missing a guy like that who can literally just route you up and say, hey, you know, in 2.5 seconds, I'm going to be open, just throw it to my inside shoulder. They don't have that guy. But there's times where Roman Wilson is open, and I think that Aaron Rodgers just doesn't anticipate it just yet because he's not dependent on Roman Wilson's timing. And I think that's the thing. That's another thing that plays into it as well. It's not enough just to win your route. It's enough to be able to win your route consistently enough that before you turn your shoulder to make that move, the quarterback knows he's going to do this and he's going to be on this hash mark, and all I got to do is put it right here. So sometimes it's also about comfortability and familiarity, and that's another thing that plays against the Steelers' passing offense right now.
If you were Mike Tomlin, would you play the compromised Aaron Rodgers, or would you go one more week with Mason Rudolph?
If Aaron Rodgers is able to go, and I mean, no one's 100% at this part of the season, everyone's at least got, like, you know, probably 95% at best. But if Aaron Rodgers is not inhibited by the wrist, and you feel like he's seeing the field again in practice, or he's addressing what he was doing, I'm putting in Aaron Rodgers. But if there's something that's holding him back, if he's wincing when he gets the ball in his hands, if it's like, you know, slowing something down or something feels off, I say, hey, Aaron, you're the first ballot Hall of Famer. Let's get you some rest. Let's make sure that you're 100% because we got the MVP coming up next week. We can let Mason Rudolph handle this for a week. That's why we brought him back. So I would just, it's kind of like what you said. It's functionality. If the functionality of Aaron Rodgers is not working, or there's something issue there, just give it to your backup. But if all those things are crossed, put him in.
Chris, do you agree or disagree with Tomlin stating that if Darius Slay is healthy, he'll be the starter at the corner spot, or should James Pierre get that spot?
I mean, I was disagreeing. He wasn't too appreciative of my question.
He really wasn't. He's like, what's your question?
Yeah, what the hell, man?
What's your question?
I was like, how do you decide between taking a guy who's been hot off the field for, you know, a guy with pedigree? And I was like, I'm pretty sure I asked that question. But I get it, you know, because this, like, I understand. I know, like, Tomlinisms aren't just, you know, the funny phrases. It's also the things that he tries to not tell you. And so when you poke into those, that's when he gets a little flustered, mm-hmm. too. But I there's a part of me that feels like there might be some game theory into that statement because, you know, I look at this and I'm like, maybe Darius Slay goes back in, but I'm sorry, I can't take James Pierre off the field right now. And so, like when we talked about, you know, I asked old Seth the question about James Pierre, and he's tied with Joey Porter Jr. for the most passes broken up on the team. And by the way, both of those guys are, like, I think top 10 in the league in pass breakups right now. And James Pierre is playing significantly less snaps. And he was like, oh, you know, you get more breakups when more guys target you. I'm like, yeah, but, like, Darius Slay gets targeted and don't got them breakups. And so,
exactly.
I think there's a part of me that feels like, you know, Mike Tomlin's saving face right now, but is going to do something completely different in the game. And there's times where he's done that where, like, he said one thing and I'm like, oh, he noted this. Oh, you know what? He went that way. And the same thing goes with a lot of head coaches. Bill Belichick would do that a lot. Heck, Pat Narduzzi's done that to me a lot. There's times where Pat Narduzzi's been like, hey, you know, we're doing this. Or you know, Kenny Pickett's not playing this week, and Kenny Pickett was, like, totally fine. You know, like, so there's gamesmanship that's always there. But if he goes back out there, the only saving grace would be the Steelers are deploying two high safety shells a lot more often. There's a lot more safety support. You're not asking cornerbacks to be in single coverage on islands as much. And that's the thing that Darius Slay couldn't do as much. But if he knows that he has a safety behind him, That could be the one scenario where about 80% of the time you say, hey, Darius, just play a little more aggressive up front, be very technical. That'd be the one thing that would make sense. But other than that, I'm like, man, I can't take James Pierre off the field, man. That guy's balling.
Chris Carter of the Post-Gazette and the Locked On Steelers podcast joining us on the Fan Hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. A much improved offensive line for the Chicago Bears. You got Darnell Wright on the right side. They added pieces in free agency. They're playing like it. They've run the ball really effectively. What have you seen from that unit? What have you seen out of the development of Caleb Williams, and what do the Steelers have to prepare for?
Well, kudos to Ben Johnson. He's really helped with Caleb Williams' development and seeing the field. But one thing I think that is really interesting about this team is they are opportunistic as well. They have the number two run offense and the number two explosive run offense in the NFL. And what they do is that when you give them a crease, they hit it, and they hit it fast and hard. And that's what the Steelers have to be really gap sound about. Like, this is, I also think, and I was looking at this, just like from last year, the biggest thing that I thought that hurt them last year down the stretch was playing teams that could run the ball and had athletic quarterbacks that could also run the ball. You think back to, and I think the four of the top five times that they gave up the most rushing yards last year was either twice was the Ravens, one was Daniel Jones and Tyrone Tracy with the Giants back when they were there, and then there was the Eagles with Saquon Barkley and Jalen Hurts. And they did not do well when teams ran options, when they challenged you to be accountable for both gaps. And I asked Terrell Austin about that, like, what's better about that this year when we were talking to him yesterday. And he noted, we're better in the interior, which is what they invested in. They went and got Derek Harmon. They went and got Y.A. Black. They're getting much better play from Keanu Benton. And if they can get that presence in the middle, that can be the stuff that makes everything easier for Patrick Queen, for Peyton Wilson, and also for Watt, Highsmith, and Herbig. And if they get all that, then it becomes a better game of bottling things up, and you can limit what they do with Swift and Williams and force Williams to have to win downfield more often. He can hold on to the ball sometimes when he really shouldn't, and that's, I think, what the situation you want to get him into. But I also think it's a great ramp-up because next week you got Josh Allen and James Cook. And I know they lost last night, but that team's got a long, 10 days before the Steelers game, and they're going to mad as all get out and desperate for a win. So they got to be ready for that. And then the week after that, you get Lamar Jackson and Derrick Henry, who are the reason why you went and got the guys that you got this offseason in the first place.
Chris, very good. Who do you think wins the game?
I got the Steelers winning 27-21.
Chris, you're a gentleman and a scholar, and we appreciate your time. We'll talk to you not next Friday, because we will not be here.
Correct.
So have a happy Thanksgiving.
Yes, sir.
Happy Thanksgiving, and let me know how that sweet potato pie comes out.
I'm not going to make it. I clearly can't make it. I'm going to have to make a pumpkin pie, and everyone's going to pretend that it's good, and it won't be.
Right.
And especially it won't be good to me.
You can buy a sweet potato pie.
Oh, that's allowed to do? I can't make it from scratch?
Yeah. Please don't make it.
Okay. Yeah.
See you, Chris.
See you, Chris.
Thank you.
See you guys.
I don't really understand the difference. I mean, if I can buy one, why can't I just make one?
If you buy one, it'll be better than you making one.
Why?
It just will.
I can't.
You're the guy that marinated steak in mayo and ketchup.
Correct.
Mix. I mean, I think you could mess up a sweet potato pie pretty easily.
Yes.
Point Harry. He got me there.
Yep.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detectthesos.com to learn more.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes, subject to driver availability. More terms apply.